All right. Good evening and welcome back to VSU Undergraduate Research Podcast. We are excited tonight to have Dr. Karen Acosta from our Modern and Classical Language discipline. She came to us from Paraguay originally and got her master's degree and PhD from the University of Kansas in Lawrence. She has studied the literacy and I think it's TOSL. Well, we'll ask her in a minute. Before moving to the United States, though, from Paraguay, her home country, she was a teacher in English as a second language and in two-way bilingual school as a teacher of English as a foreign language in a bi-national cultural center. So she's got a great resume. She has been absolutely important beyond belief on our Undergraduate Research Council and has just been so much fun to research with and work with. So welcome, Dr. Acosta. I'm glad you're here tonight.
Well, I am blushing. Thank you for having me. I didn't know that you knew all of that. And also you saved me some time because now I don't need to explain it.
Well, there you go.
About being here.
Yeah. Well, you've got quite an impressive resume. And so I only hit some of the highlights, not everything you've done. But we'll get started with this. So we're talking about research tonight. And my question to everybody has been, first to start off for our audience, what areas of research have you been involved in?
Well, my background is curriculum and instruction. And specifically, you mentioned that in my intro, TESOL.
That TESOL
stands for Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages. So that was my first career, and that was my master's degree. And then I went on to do other things like reading and literacy and second language acquisition more broadly. So primarily I've done language learning research. My research is reading comprehension strategies that language learners use when they read in a second language, and whether they use the same strategies that they use in their first language. So when you get stuck or find like a difficult spot in a text in English, do you do the same if you're reading in Spanish? Or are there bilingual reading strategies that are unique to bilingual readers? So that is kind of how I started. But then because of my job, and now I teach in the modern and classical languages department, and because of collaborations and encouragement from my colleagues, I've kind of ventured into another type of research, and it's more like literature and film, which is fascinating to me. So it's a little bit different from my background, but I love all of it. And then before I became an academic, in quotes, as a grad student, I was a graduate research assistant for women and gender studies, and I helped mostly with data collection, not in the research writing, with a study about human sexuality. And it's all different, and it, all of it is fascinating to me.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. You know, I'd never thought about when you learn to read. I had to learn to read German for my PhD.
Okay.
It was crazy. And I probably remember very little of it now. But trying to get through some of that work,
yeah,
and figuring out, I never thought about the fact that there probably are strategies that help you in a different way to learn in a different language.
Yeah. And it depends on what you try to do. But if you could read something in German now, I think that you would notice. You will be more aware of what you're doing if you're trying to translate or like decode the words, or if you looked around for clues, you know, like context clues.
Yeah.
Like all of those are things that we do when we read that are strategies.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It was the prepositions in German that killed me. But I
listen, it's the prepositions in English that still kill me to this day. And I've been here for almost 15 years.
So there's hope for me at that point.
There is hope.
Well, that's wonderful. I also know you've done some things online. Can you tell us a little bit about your work online with literature?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of both for social reasons and also then because reading and literacy is my area. I had an online book club for a long time, and I did some research about online book clubs. And I'm interested in the concept of reading as a social act and like a shared experience. And is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Because I thought, you know, that's fascinating. And where was that this last year during COVID?
Where were the virtual book clubs?
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved that.
Yeah.
What a great idea. So when you have done your research, do you have a favorite project or a least favorite project that you've done?
I've thought a little bit about this, and I think that my favorite project is the project that I am working on right now. And I also thought that it's probably a good sign when the thing that you're working on is the most exciting to you.
It is.
It is. And then the least favorite, and it's not because I didn't like it, but because it took a lot of work and a lot of trial and error, was a pilot study that I did before I did my dissertation study when I was in University of Kansas. And it was because we were testing several things for the study that was about the reading comprehension strategies. And it was summer and it was miserable. And I felt like I was alone on campus sweating.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in that area of Kansas with my grandmother.
Really?
And yeah, I know where Lawrence is pretty well. Yeah.
The summers are tough on campus. And also because I didn't end up using most of it.
Yeah.
So, and that's why it's my least favorite. But I did learn from it. I learned from it, and it helped the research. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, we all have those things that just don't pan out, and yet we still learn from them. So
yeah,
we can use them in our teaching, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the obstacles that you had to overcome in your research? And what strategies did you use to overcome these? I know that obviously coming from Paraguay to the United States had to be a huge change in your life.
It was and it wasn't. It was because I have to say that I feel every day that I was very privileged that when I came to the U.S., I already spoke English and I already was educated in the sense that I did my undergraduate degree in Paraguay. So I had a sense of a university, although the structure is different, of what it is like to attend classes at a university, have different professors and different papers doing different things. And so that made it easy a little bit of having that that experience with a degree. But of course, it just becomes harder when you do a master's degree and then when you do a PhD. And I always tell my sister's in grad school now, she's doing a PhD, and I always tell her it's the same set of skills, but the reading gets longer and your papers also get longer.
And
your ultimate paper, which is your dissertation, is the longest, right? And it also has to be some sort of an original thing that you're creating. And so you're kind of building up to that. So I think that I was lucky that I had the beginning of that when I came here. But it was also hard that it was in a different language. And so it took me about a year, I think, to adapt to attending class in English, to thinking in English, to responding and writing in English. All of that is like a training that you have to go through. You can't skip it. And so that was hard. But I was also lucky because you mentioned in my intro that I was already teaching before I came to the States, and I used to teach English. And so I found myself working in the Spanish and Portuguese department. And they hired me because I'm a native speaker and I had teaching experience. And so it's basically the same. It's the same. It's just the opposite language. So I was comfortable in the teaching and in the approach the teaching approach that we were using, I already knew how to do it, but it was flipping languages. And so I think I was fortunate in many ways. So yeah. I think that I drew from all of that. But specifically referring to research, the main obstacle, I think, is access, especially as a graduate student attempting to do original research, access to potential participants, and you're new and no one trusts you, including people who have the access, who can give you access to students, right, to ask questions
right.
to. So because I had the fortune of working in the Spanish and Portuguese department, my boss knew me and she trusted me enough to let me recruit participants from among our students. And that saved my study because that without that help, I don't think I could have done it because I was looking specifically for college age students who were learning a second language who had not learned another language before. So that's very specific.
So yeah,
access to those people, how do you recruit? And so I was so lucky that I was in a language department that let me do that. But, you know, my degree was in the College of Education. So if I had just stick right. to that, I don't know how I could have done it. And it's not like you can just come in to a different department in a different college and say, hey, here's my project. Can I use your students? Right.
Right.
It's unlikely that they will trust you.
Yeah, but it sounds like you've managed to find good mentors.
Yes.
Which I think is key.
I was very lucky that one of my advisors in grad school was a second language learner herself. It was not Spanish. It was Norwegian and English.
Wow.
And so she was very familiar with the teaching and the learning of the language. And I had co-advisors. The other one was very experienced in writing research, which helps so much when you're revising and
yes.
you keep getting a different version of your last chapter many times. And spotting the little things and making the little changes, it's very important to have someone who is a good writer and a good like spotter of things. And because of my work and because of the focus of my research, my boss in the Spanish department ended up being my dissertation director. And so she was the most helpful because she was right there and helped me figure out all the issues, including what are we going to give the students so that they are willing to come and sit here for an hour and do this task that they absolutely don't have to do.
Well, I imagine that your experience must help with a lot of our students that come from other countries, originally speak other languages. I imagine that having someone like yourself that has gone through it must be a comfort to them.
I hope so. And I also hope that I am still, even though we are... And I used to be closer in age to them. So I think that we could relate better. But as I yeah. become older and we have more of a gap in age, I hope that I can still communicate of,
yeah.
you know, like being approachable and still very much learning, you know. And I tell my students all the time when we're in the Spanish class, you know, when they say, oh, this is so hard. Why are there so many verbs? And I tell them, you know, this is the hardest for me in English. And so we kind of talk about and compare, and I think that they can relate. And then, of course, there are students also who come from other countries or from other backgrounds that are just happen to be in Georgia. And because I teach online a lot, I actually have students who are not here. The other day, a student emailed me questions. And after I helped her with the homework, she said, thank you so much for teaching me. Hello from Japan. And I had no idea that I had someone from Japan taking my Spanish class, which is just fascinating to me.
I would imagine it would be hard. Like, I know that there are certain sounds in English yeah. that don't work so well in Asian languages. How does Spanish
it is
work
so,
with that?
I think it's so much harder to do it from a language that doesn't share the writing system, you know, and it has a, it's very different the way how how language is written and spoken. I think it's very challenging. I have not been brave enough in my life to try another language that did not have a, you know, the similar writing system as English and Spanish. I'm learning Swedish now. And
oh, wow.
I'm still sticking to the same alphabet, you know, like maybe one yeah. day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe one day.
That's wonderful, though. I mean, I think that's something that I always admire is that people who know many languages. I wish I would have kept up my German. Yeah. And, you know, I keep saying one of these days, but I really do need to get back into it and either do the German or thought about Spanish or something.
Download the Duolingo app. It's so much fun. It's like
a
video game. Yeah, it just makes you practice. It's like matching, okay. and then you say it, and then you listen and write it, and it's a lot of fun.
Wonderful. Absolutely. I will get that.
And, you know, it kind of wakes up your German that is dormant in your brain.
It's funny because I did go back to visit my one sister who now lives in Germany, and it was funny what I could pick up mm-hmm. and what I couldn't. You know, it's like certain things would pop up, and he's like, I know that word.
For me, if I see it in writing, I feel like I recognize it more when it's a language I don't know fluently. Yeah. But of course, no one is writing things to you. When you're out there in the world, you have to be able to produce, say yeah. something, yeah, or listen and understand. That's the hard part, I think.
That is for me, is hearing yeah. what they're yeah. actually saying.
Yeah.
So, I know you do a lot with research, and I'm just curious, I've asked this of everybody, how do you go about your research? For example, when I research, I read everything I can get my hands on that topic, and then I will sit down and write for like days on end with no break.
Yeah.
What's your method?
I've used different methods for different things. I think it is good to adapt to the kind of question and the kind of project that you have. So something that will fit that idea or that question well. I have done both. I think it's just so much fun to collaborate with someone. So my most recent thing is that I've been collaborating with colleagues on projects. And it is hard for me, it's kind of similar to what you just said. It is very hard for me to narrow down. And so yeah. I just go and I get excited and I read another thing. And then suddenly I'm thinking, this is not very related anymore. I'm getting yeah. outside of the, but it's still exciting, you know? And so I kind of maybe keep it aside. But it yeah. is a challenge to narrow down and organize. But yeah. I think methods, I really like, more specifically, like, I really like qualitative research. So I like talking to people. I like reading people's yeah. writing. That's my favorite.
I think those of us in the humanities are yes. very sold on the qualitative. Quantitative is fun for me, but yeah. It's okay. I love the qualitative.
Yeah. I've done the mixed methods, and my dissertation was a mixed method study. I learned a lot, yeah. but I think qualitative is still my favorite. And if you give me a narrative or a quote, just amazing. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And some
yeah.
people feel that way about tables and stats, you know, and that's not
they me. Do. And I have to say that in interdisciplinary studies, I've been starting to work with them on the mixed methods to try and get
yeah.
that down. And yeah. that's something new to a lot of them.
Yeah. I think it's good to learn a little bit from everything. And like I said, you can use different methods for different things. And it's good to learn what's out there and then see what you can apply to the current project or question. And it's good to adapt.
Yeah. And that's what I love about the humanities is in some ways, I feel like we have much more freedom in our methodology
yeah.
than other areas because we can do the mixed. Whereas they can't
yeah.
so much.
There's kind of a broad range, and I like that because
I do too.
I feel like I'm more free to explore. I think it's important to kind of remain excited and feel like what you're doing is fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. So what's your favorite part of research and what's your least favorite part of research?
My answer to both of those is the writing. It's my favorite and also my least favorite because it can be so wonderful when it's clicking and things are moving along and it's exciting. And it can also be very frustrating when you get stuck or it's going, but it's kind of sloggy, you know? And so I found that I really like collaborating with colleagues on projects. I like to have a couple of things going at once and for them to be different things. So it helps when it's a little bit of variety. And helping with the getting stuck or this log part, I think it also helps when there is someone who pushes you, because I think I work faster and better when I am more accountable to someone other than me to do the writing, which is, again, the most challenging and also the best part.
Yeah, I really have enjoyed the collaborative works I've been involved in. I always find that getting the different opinions and the different viewpoints brings out so many things that I wouldn't have put together in that way.
Yeah. Continue.
No, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. In my current project that I'm working on, another colleague from my department and I are looking at three different graphic novels in Spanish that were written by female authors. And we are looking at female empowerment and trauma in their kind of autobiographical narratives.
Yeah.
And we have taken the approach of like reading each book and writing our notes and writing our kind of drafts, like our pages,
right?
Separately. And then we send each other what we have and try not to influence the other with, like you were saying, a different perspective. But it has been so fascinating to be reading writing that someone did about the same material. That is so different and makes different points and still makes sense. And to try to work on consolidating or combining the ideas or organizing, I think that's like a little puzzle. But it also opens you to, like you said, you know, other ideas and a perspective, just stepping outside of yourself, and you can see it from someone else's perspective. And it's eye-opening.
It is. And I do like your point about the fact that other people on the project push you to do it. And I do think that that is nice to know that you can't just set it aside. And I think sometimes our students get into that. They procrastinate because they've hit a wall instead of feeling like, well, I've got to figure this out now.
So, you know, I think it, deadlines, even though people hate them, and people hate us for creating them. Yeah. Nothing really gets done unless there are deadlines, because I mean, whether they are self-imposed, it's like, I'm going to get to this page by this day or otherwise, I think there is always something more urgent that you're going to find to do. Yeah. And you end up putting the writing off or the reading off.
So, yeah.
It does help.
I think you're right on that.
I'm better on a deadline, honestly, but I know not everyone is the same way.
Yeah, I noticed that even if I don't have to, I always prioritize which writings have, and I usually have several going at once too, which ones have to be done first.
Yes.
What I have to do for each one. So.
Yeah, it's how things get done, unfortunately.
It is.
But also helpfully, because it does work.
I think so. And like you said earlier, I think it helps if I get stuck on one to go to the other and then come back.
Yeah.
So, well, goodness, we're having so much fun, but we're almost out of time. So let me get to the
just keep going.
The last question. I know. Yeah. Just go all night.
I have all night.
Me too, oddly. What advice do you want to give to students about research? So I know you and I have been on undergraduate research for a long time and worked together, and I've always enjoyed it. But if there was something you wanted to tell students about research or give them advice, what would it be?
I think research, if you haven't done it, just sounds and feels so terrifying, right? But
yeah.
I would say find the question or the idea that excites you and then narrow it way down. Be realistic, right? My advisor in grad school used to tell me, do you know what kind of dissertation is the best kind? I was like, no. She said, done, the done kind. And that is so true because you need to do the things that you like, but you need to also consider that you are still learning and this is just your first try. And so your research will become more interesting and it will become better the more you know and the more you do. So I think that students should look for the type of research, the type of study, the type of method, the type of design that best fits kind of their needs or their questions. And I would also say, don't marry a theory just because it sounds edgy or fancy. You know, like it's really good to adapt, and then change. Also change. Yeah. Don't get stuck on the one track. You know, and I think it's so much better. I mean, at least for us, let's say to live in these modern times when academics can have different research interests and almost like different fields. No, you can kind of try different things. I think it used to be that there was one thing that was your thing,
right?
And it was a thing that you were known for and you kind of had to stick to that track. But I think that things are different now, and I think that's good. I'm glad that we're living in these times.
I am too. Yeah. It does give the freedom. But I love the way you express that about, you know, doing something within the time limit. I'm always telling my students, you know, don't pick these really broad topics. You only have 16 weeks.
Yeah.
And it is just their first try. I find so many of our undergraduates are trying to write dissertations or come up with like brand new stuff that nobody's ever thought of. And it's like, but you're not there yet.
Not yet.
You know.
And it's not going to be amazing the first time you do it, even though maybe you love your idea and you're in love with your project. It's not going to come out of you that sophisticated the first time. So maybe get it done, move along, and then the next project will be better. Like it will make your project better the next time having gone through this experience.
Yeah. I love that because that's the perfect thing, you know. It's not that scary after a while. And you get
and you
better.
Can, you get have better. Learned the steps, and then you can maybe do them again and be less scared the next time.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Every time I write something, I hope anyway, I get better.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the point to all we do. If we get better every time, there's always more we could do.
Yeah, it gives you hope and it keeps you motivated too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have just had a wonderful time talking to you.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's been great fun. I'm like I said, I know we always enjoy undergraduate research, and unfortunately, we don't get to see each other that much. So,
well, Lavanna, we're gonna after we stop recording, we're gonna transition right into the virtual book club stuff. So.
I like that. I need book clubs. I need something. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a good evening.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.